Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Fantastic. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
No, let's don't do that. Okay. We used to sing that when we were little. How many of you remember? If you're happy and you know it, then your face should surely show it. If you're happy and you know it. Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to start your day. Oh, do you like learning of the Word? We're going to look at some stuff this morning. I went a little too long last week, so I'm going to try to watch the clock, see if I can do better. Can't promise you. Someone once said, sermonettes are for Christianettes. And I don't know. We try to watch the clock, but let's pray. Let's dig into our Bible study in 1 Peter. Father God, right now, anoint this study, anoint me as I give it. Lord, I am so cognizant of the fact that without your anointing, I can't do it. Lead and guide us through this time in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. We're going to continue with our study in the book of 1 Peter. Now, what I'm doing like three Sundays and then three Wednesdays, or I might go back two Sundays, two Wednesdays. I'll switch back every now and then. But on Sundays right now, we're doing the study of the Word of God. There's a lack of that happening in our world right now, in our country, studying Scripture. So let's go back to verse 13. That's the one of the verses we covered last week. And it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit. In other words, avoid any excess in any area. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I told you last week, when you see the therefore, you got to ask what it's there for. And there was two specific things given to us in this chapter that's going to designate the action that's going on in our life. Number one, God will be trying to protect us in various ways. God has invested interest in us. He's trying to protect us. But we have to use our faith to receive that protection. I talked about that last week. Go back and watch it on the internet. Number two, God will be using various trials in our life in a variety of ways. Now look at the wording here. Girding up your minds for action. This made more sense to them than it probably does us. Because in those days, in the first century, men wore long flowing robes. And when they wanted to do work or go to war or something, they'd have to gather up this robe, this long robe, and tuck it in around the girdle, around the loin area. They'd tuck it in. You see this in the in Ephesians 6 when it talks about warfare. So they would take the long robe, gird it up, and they'd tie it with a belt or something around the loin area, so they'd be free to do whatever needed to be done without any encumbrance or being held back in any way. If we wanted to modernize this verse, the apostle here would say to Christians, he would say, live with your sleeves rolled up. Because there's going to be action in your life every single day. Let me just use this week's workings, the things that went on in my life this last week. Now, this was a not real action-filled week, but still there was action. For example, a rather influential person wanted to debate with me on a very controversial subject. And they wanted to debate. And man, I thought, action is on. It's on. And they wanted me to agree with them, but I would not agree with them on this subject. I said, no, the Bible says this. I'm going to stick to my guns. And I did stick to my guns. I listened to a podcast by Dennis Prager this week. Man, I like this guy. Since he hits the nail on the head on a lot of things. And he talked about courage. And he talked about the fact how people in this generation, in this country, have lost courage. We're not courageous anymore. We're afraid of counterculture, cancel culture, excuse me. We're afraid that someone's going to unfriend us if we stand up for what we believe in. We're afraid someone's going to call us a name. We're afraid someone's going to ostracize us and write us off. This generation doesn't have a lot of spiritual courage, and we need to get it back. He went on and he said how this silence can become agreement. Cancel culture has intimidated many people and even believers. Let me remind you of Matthew 5:13. Look at it. In the NIV, it says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Look at this same passage in the Message Bible. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Wow. Prager went on to say, we have lost our ability to think things through. In public school, we have thrown out reason right out of the window. Our Christian school teachers now, they're like missionaries. Man, we got to pray for our Christian school teachers. They're like missionaries going into a foreign field now. But he says the public schools have thrown out reason right out the window. And he brought up the transgender issue. He was really perturbed, you could tell in this podcast. He said, we have biological men competing with biological women in sports on the high school and college level. And these biological men are setting all kinds of records, and these girls do not have a chance. And he said, I don't have a problem with these guys wanting to identify with being female. That's not my problem. He said, my problem is giving them an advantage in sports. He said, I don't like it. It's not fair. Gang, have we lost our minds? This country is insane. You know, just because you feel like you're something doesn't mean you're something. We've lost our minds. We've lost our sense of reason. And then Dennis Prager said something that really caught my attention. He said, society is asking us to suppress reason for social justice. Whoa. That's powerful. And then he said something that even caught my attention more. He said, the left, the radical left, doesn't want 5 minutes of conservative thought to be allowed in school, because deep down inside they know that 5 minutes of conservative views will undo a year of their radical left indoctrination. They can't stand up to it. The devil knows, doesn't he? He knows. Christians, shut up. We don't want to hear your voice, because we know that 5 minutes of your voice will undo years of our indoctrination. Point being, we're born-again believers. We have opinions on a lot of things because we have the Word of God. We have the Bible. We know God. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The church needs to stop being intimidated by the devil. He's trying to use people to shame us. They say, we can speak up, but you better not. Wake up, church, wake up. You've heard it said before, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Here's another one. I like this by this great theologian, Dr. Seuss. This would be true for Christians. He says, be who you are and say what you feel. because those who mind don't matter, and those who do matter, they don't mind. Now, I felt that God wanted me to stand up against this guy and be courageous, say, no, you're wrong, you're wrong. I disagree with that. That's my opinion, but I disagree. And I did it with a lot of conviction and a lot of love. And he had to be thinking, and God had to be moving, because I felt anointed as I was doing it. And he ended with one word, interesting. So he's thinking. Also last week, God was moving in my life, and I know it was God. Don't tell me it wasn't God. I saw his fingerprints all over this, but he started speaking to me. He's trying to protect me by the power of God through faith, and he says, your diet is really off. You're really fudging with your diet too much. I know it was God. He said, you're not watching your diet anymore. My dad and my brother both had a couple open heart surgeries. And I know it was God. He was trying to protect me. But I have to put faith in that, and I have to start watching my diet. Right now, God's doing the same for someone right here. He's protecting you by the power of God if you'll use faith. Right now, as I'm speaking, he's talking to somebody out there. He's trying to save your life. Watch your diet. I went by Taco Bell. I loaded up on tacos. And then I went home and read each taco at Taco Bell has 25 milligrams of cholesterol. I ate 10,000 milligrams of cholesterol, I think, in one day. God was dialoguing with me a lot this week. I was ready for action. I had my sleeves rolled up. We had our Halloween trick-or-treat, and I'm used to running things, and the staff said, we want it. Yeah, I sat out in the line an hour and a half like you did. I sat there, and I thought, what's going on? But God was talking to me, don't control things. My wife kept telling me, you don't control things. You stay out. I said, but look, we could do this different. Just Ron, shh. She always just goes, Ron, shh. I put him down, shh. My wife has an anointed, shh. Because I wanted to get out there and say, guys, we need to do this differently. You got traffic, you know, lined up. And I said, go down, take the golf carts down and tell them we're closing this thing. They're all the way down to Cottonwood Road. So they went down, they came back, said, we went down there and told them. I said, they said, they stopped coming. I said, well, they're going to come again that you're back here. Get back down there. The guy was talking to me. He said, you got to be in control, don't you? He said, you're a bad delegator. But you understand, I got four more things written down here. I don't have time. But action. I got my sleeves rolled up. God's talking. He's speaking. He's trying to protect. God was active in my life. And last week was a slow week. Now let's move on, verse 14 through 19. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, then you should conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood, the blood of the Lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Now, holiness is something we don't hear preached on in the church anymore. Very seldom we hear a message on holiness, yet it's crucial to our walk with God. We've downplayed holiness in the church in America today, and as a result, we have an anemic church. We have a very weak church. Let me give you two parts of the definition of holiness, and then we'll work from there. R.C. Sproul says the first definition of holiness refers to something different than other things. Example, God is holy. God is different from other things. He's different from other people. A holiday is a holy day. A holiday is different than other days. Thanksgiving is a different day than other days. Praise God, I can't wait. I mean, come on. Food, fun, and football, it doesn't get any better. Christmas is a different day than other days. A Christian is supposed to be totally different than other people in every way. What am I going to say here? You know what I'm going to say? You've called to be different. Stop trying to blend in. It's the taking of something common and making it holy. Setting something common aside for special use. R.C. Sproul talked about someone who came to him, and for the wedding communion, they were putting peanut butter and Coke out. And he said, I became angry. I said, no, you cannot put peanut butter and Coke out in place of communion. Why? Because God didn't consecrate peanut butter and Coke. He consecrated the bread and the wine. And that's what makes it holy. I said last week, this building is holy. You will never see a vile rock and roll or crazy concert in here of any kind. It's a holy building. It's consecrated. The ranch house up in the mountain is consecrated. Charlie Garcia called it God's mountain. The Bible is not just a book, it's consecrated. You'd never dream of tearing the pages out of the Bible to start a fire. It's a consecrated holy book. Christian marriage is said to be holy. Sex is called holy in the Bible. The Sabbath day is holy. The tithe is holy. The name of God is holy. There's the holy altar, the holy sacrifice, the holy garments, the holy instruments, the holy priest. These things are supposed to be separated from common use and set aside for God's use. Now, we are called to be holy people. God said, you shall be holy because I am holy. Now, to get it right now, God's working in your life right now, trying to make you holy. Right now, he is. He's working because that's his plan for you. He's holy and he wants you to be like him. Now, again, it's redundant, but we're to separate ourselves from anything and everything that hinders us from God's purpose for our life. That could be drinking, could be smoking, could be clubbing. That could be working 70 hours a week. That could be bad media habits. It could be the company you're keeping. It could be lots of things. Anything that's keeping you from fulfilling God's plan for your life. Look at 2 Timothy 2:21. It says, if you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. If you keep yourself pure, if you keep yourself holy, if you keep yourself separated, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work. If you're not holy and clean, he can't use you. Do you think any doctor in his right mind would pick up a scalpel in the operating room that had a little bit of dirt on it and use it to cut into somebody? Oh, if he did, he would cause more harm than good. Doesn't matter if there's a lot of dirt on that scalpel or just a little speck of dirt on that scalpel. He won't use it. You remember the story, some of you are new, but the dad one day, single dad, his kids came to him and said, we want to go watch a movie show. What show are you going to see? He said, isn't there some bad stuff in there? Dad, there's only a little bit of bad stuff. Just a little bit of bad stuff. Just a teeny bit, Dad. It's like 10 seconds of bad stuff. That's it. And Dad says, no, I don't think I'm going to let you go. We're going to stay home and watch a movie tonight. So during the movie, he came out with some brownies. He said, hey, I got some brownies for you guys. But I want to tell you before you eat them, there's just a little teeny bit, like a little bit of dog poop in them. No, yeah, just a little bit. I think he got the thought across. Just a little bit won't hurt anything. Now, listen to me. Something holy is something different than other things. Get it into your head. You're different than other people. You're one of the only ones walking around this earth with the Holy Spirit in you. When you show up at any place, God shows up because God's in you. The Bible is not just like any other book. It's not. It's a holy book. Does it blow you away how that Bible talks to you when you read it? We aren't the same as other people. Now, in one sense, you're already a holy person. Because once you gave your life to God, the Holy Spirit came into your body and he began working on you. See, once you gave your life to God, he set you aside. And he goes, okay, these are my people. I'm going to start working on them. See, when you got saved, you might not know, but you gave God the permission to start messing with your life. You gave him permission. He said, I want to be yours. He said, okay, I'll take you and I'll rearrange your whole life. A lot of people are trying to rebuke the devil when it's God, trying to rearrange our life. See, listen to me very closely here. You got to hear this. When we abide in Christ, we receive strength from the Holy Spirit. When we abide in Christ. Now, right now, as you're sitting here today or you're watching on the computer, where right now you're in the presence of God, you're abiding in the Lord right now as you're watching on the computer or wherever, and you, those bad thoughts are leaving your mind. You're not wanting to go do something bad right now. That's not on your mind right now because you're abiding in Christ. And when you abide in Christ, strength comes to you. Now, the goal for every Christian is to try to abide 24/7. Now, obviously, none of us have reached that, but that is our goal. Sanctification and holiness are basically the same idea. Sanctification is the process. Holiness is the product. Now, as we obey God from the strength that He provides, that comes from abiding, that's how we obey God. Can I say that again? Your obedience comes from the strength that comes from abiding in the Lord. But as we obey the Lord from the strength we're getting from abiding in the Lord, we become changed people. Look at John 15, 4 and 7. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. If you abide in me, like you're doing right now, and my words, those are my rhemas, I'm speaking to you, my words abide in you, then you ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. 1 John 2 and 6. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Why should the one who abides in him walk the same manner as he walked? Because if you abide in him, his strength and power is going to be in you, and you're going to be walking the way he walks. And then I love Romans 6, 19 first. 19 first, please. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now stop doing that. Present your members as slaves to righteousness, and it'll result in sanctification. And look at the next verse, 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you're slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? So the strength to obey comes from God. Gosh, get this down. I was counseling a girl not too long ago, several years ago, and she was a believer, but she's having a hard time with drug addiction. She says, I just find myself on my way to my pusher's, my dealer's house. And I said, what am I doing? I said, I dare you, double dare you. Next time you find yourself going to your dealer's house to get some drugs, stop for just 10 minutes. Put some praise music on and start praising God and start praying and watch what happens. And here's what I want you to pray. God, I am weak. Lord, I am a victim of drugs. But you're not weak. You're strong. So right now, fill me with your strength. I dare you to do it for 10 minutes and watch what happens. She said, I did, and I turned the car around. I said, yeah. We need to be organic Christians. You don't know, but I've led two people to the Lord that live close to me, neighbors, just by being organic. I'd come fresh out of my prayer room, being with God devotion. I'd start sharing with them God's stories, and they end up getting saved. Now, some of you need to separate yourself from the bar life. Some of you need to separate yourself from social media and bad TV habits. You need to separate yourself from the bad friends you're hanging out with. Some of you need to separate yourself from nice people you're hanging out with who don't share your radical Christian values. Some of you need to separate yourself from that nice family who aren't Christians that want to take the motorhomes and go play dominoes every weekend at the beach. You need to separate yourself from them. See, I'll never forget Tom and I down in Loreto, Mexico. We were down there because every month or two we'd go down into Mulegé and do a missions program. And Tom and I were down this, we'd stay at this resort area. And I remember we were in there eating breakfast one day, and all these people were in there, they looked like they were really rich. They had their yachts, they had their everything, and they were down there partying. And they were all, we're all eating breakfast together, and they said, "We're down here, man. We're going to go catch some big ones today. We're down here going to do this." And they looked at me and Tom, "What are you guys down here for?" We said, "Well, the people in Mulegé have been hit real hard about 100 miles away. They've been hit hard by the hurricanes and stuff, and we're going down, we're building houses for them." And their jaws dropped. They, "Really?" And they were infatuated. I don't know what they were thinking exactly, but they were like, "You're going down there. Yeah, that's what we're down here for. We're going to build houses for them. We're going by the grocery store getting food today." And it's almost like they were enamored by it. They like, "Whoa, why aren't I doing this?" I mean, we really could tell that something was happening. Some of you need to separate yourself from the job 70 hours a week working, because that's interfering with what God wants you to do. Now, holiness also has to do with being used by God. God's not going to use a dirty scalpel. He's not. Not going to use dirty dishes. As you separate yourself from the things that are competing with God's calling in your life, you will also need to put something in place of those things you're separating yourself from. Look at Hebrews 12 and 1. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so entangles us, and let us run." We lay aside these things so we can run. You don't lay them aside just to lay them aside. You lay them aside and then you run. It's really important. When you separate yourself from the bad friends, you got to put some good friends in their place. Put some friends in their place that are challenging you, that are stretching you. When you lay the bar life aside, you've got to put Christian service in its place. Serve with a college group. Serve with mighty men, mighty women. You don't want to create a vacuum effect. You don't want to leave a vacuum that's not filled. I don't know. I won't get this other service. I can write it down. But one day a guy, he went to this hardware store all the time and saw this one guy all the time. Charlie was always in there. One day he went and Charlie wasn't in there. And he asked the owner, "What happened, Charlie?" He said, "Charlie retired." He said, "How are you going to fill that vacancy?" He said, "Oh, Charlie didn't leave no vacancy." That's it. That's the end of it. That you act like there's, that went over bad. Charlie didn't leave no vacancy. You don't get it. He was a bad worker. I don't know, I had nothing to do with this. I will get that out of the next sermon. It just hit me. I thought it was funny because Charlie was lazy, but whatever. I love formulas. I want to tell you how you're supposed to work this holiness into your life. And I'm going to give you a very simple term. Remember I gave you Dow, like Dow Jones, to know what to pray for during this season. Now I'm going to give you IBM. IBM, this is how to work this holiness into your life. First of all, identify. Identify the areas of life that you need to separate yourself from, that's impeding your progress in the gospel. Identify those areas. I dare you to do it. Then the B in IBM is bring those areas to God in a season of prayer. And then the M is make an exchange of the good for the bad. Now, as a result, you'll be changed from the inside out. For years, I was raised in the Pentecostal church, and we were doing this thing of holiness all wrong. Our intentions were good, but misdirected. When people got saved, we gave them a list of don't do's. And somehow, we didn't think about change of character. We just thought, you know, here's the don't do's. You're now saved. You now have responded to the message of the hilariously good news. Now, don't dance, don't smoke, don't do bars, don't gamble, don't drink, don't do cards, don't go to movie theaters, don't hang around bad people. That's what we taught. The church taught that. Be holy, don't do these things. And we left it right there. As a result, people got a bad taste in their mouth about what they perceived was holiness. I tried it, but it wasn't for me. That stuff isn't livable. It didn't result in heart change. See, gang, this you shall not theology, thou shalt not theology, doesn't work. Not with left alone. I read a book years ago. Who was it by? I like this guy. And he was talking about how if you're walking down the road and you see a hole in the fence and there's a sign that says, do not for any reason look through this hole. Do not look through this hole. Everything in you wants to look through that hole. You're going, oh, I'd probably look through it. If you see a bench in the park and it has wet paint on it, you just want to go up, touch it, don't you? See, holiness is a process. That's why we have to give people that fall a lot of grace. We got to give them a lot of grace. We got to help them back up. Don't condemn them. Don't be self-righteous. When they fall, give them a lot of grace. Help them up, help them up, help them up. It's a messy process. In that same book, holiness reminds me of this. You live out in the country and you got 100 acres. And you got your dog. You know where that dog's at? He's on the back porch. Now you got a dog in a little bitty fenced yard and he's jumping and the gate opens and he's gone. But that country dog's laying there. What's the matter? He says, been there, done that. Ain't nothing out there. Been there, chased every rabbit. You know. And that's a picture of us. People in the church are going to come in. They're going to fall. They're going to fall in adultery. They're going to fall back into drugs. They're going to fall into all this stuff. We got to give them grace. Help them up. Grace, help them up. Grace, help them up. Because God's promoting holiness. He's promoting holiness. He's taking us somewhere. Just ask him one question. Do you still love Jesus? See, what we formed in the Pentecostal church was just another form of legalism. I heard a really good definition of legalism this week. It's, I want my conscience to be your guide. Doesn't work. True, genuine holiness comes from inside and it works its way out. True, genuine holiness will eventually work its way out in how you dress, where you go, who you hang out with, what you watch, what you listen to. Again, it's so redundant, and I know I repeat stuff, but it became such an eye-opener to me. Like people says, you shall not watch UFC. You're a pastor. You don't watch UFC. Well, I do. But there's sometimes I can't watch UFC because watching UFC on Saturday night interferes with the time I'm supposed to be with God. And God says, do not. And it becomes organic. I'm not doing it because someone's told me that that's their value. You cannot. See, I care less about your values that you're trying to impose on me. I've got to hear them myself. And again, with the music thing that I went over and over again, I don't think it's wrong to live in the country music, but there's times I just don't have time. See how this holiness thing's organic? It's organic. Now, true, genuine holiness comes from the inside and works its way out. Now, here's the clincher again. When you commit yourself to becoming holy people, God will start using you. God's not foolish. He won't use dirty scalpels. Again, let's look at that verse one more time, 2 Timothy 2:21. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. You will be. See, we want to be a part of what God's doing. God doesn't really give a flip about what we're doing. He wants us to be a part of what he's doing. So often we want God to bless what we want to do, and he says, no, be a part of what I'm already doing. I'm already doing mighty men at VBF. I'm already doing mighty women at VBF. I'm birthing these ministries. See, holiness puts us in a position to be used by God. Paul and Barnabas in Acts, they were in the church. They were holy. They separated themselves from the world. They were ministering in the church, doing their thing, separate from the world. And God came and found them and said, I have a job for you. You get yourself holy. You'd use that IBM process and God will come looking for you. See, we got it all wrong in this day in the church. We almost are saying, what can I get by with and still go to heaven? That shouldn't be our question. Our question should be, how can I be more like Jesus to this lost and dying world? Because you know what? They liked Jesus then, and they're going to like him now. Jesus was just cool. A lot of Christians aren't cool. That's because they're not doing it Jesus' way. Jesus was cool. See, don't confuse holiness with salvation. Salvation is dependent on nothing but grace of God. Salvation starts, a lot of people know what a Christian is. Salvation starts with your willingness to be possessed by God. Your willingness to let him possess you. Your willingness to let him mess with your life and make you into something you're not. Your willingness to start following him. See, your sins are already forgiven. They're already forgiven. They're gone. Your future sins, your past, they're all gone. So don't confuse holiness with salvation. On the Apologetic podcast I was watching the other day with Pastor John, and that's really a good podcast. He had Scott Garcia on. He's going to have Nikki Dickey on with him next time. And Nikki has a master's in theology. And they ask a question. I want to answer that. They says, Scott asked, John says, will we have free will in heaven? And John said, I haven't thought about that. Sure, we're going to have free will in heaven. Isn't that a little risky for God? No, because you've already been proven on this earth. If you've been proven in a body of flesh and sin, and you've done it in that body of sin and flesh, you're sure not going to do it then when you have a new body. You've already been proven on this earth. And so God can give you free will because you've already been tested. You've already been tried. And now you don't even have that sinful body anymore. So rewards have to do with holiness because holiness puts us in a position to be used by God. Now, am I teaching you the truth here? Did you see the text? That's why in our text, verse 17 follows verse 16. It's a flow. It's just what I'm saying. Read verse 16 and 17 together. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I'm holy. And here's the reason why. If you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. In other words, be holy because someday you're going to be judged. And if you're holy, you'll be used by God. And if you're used by God, you'll get rewards in heaven. Story of John of Kronstadt. He was a 19th century Russian Orthodox priest at the time when alcohol abuse was rampant. We're told during that time that none of the priests really ventured out of their churches to help people. They waited for the people to come to the church to be helped. But John was different. The story goes on to say he was compelled by the love of God to go into the streets. He would go into the streets and people, this was bystanders' take of what he did. They said he would actually go out in the streets every day, lift up these hungover, smelly, dirty, filthy people, and he would cradle them in his arms. And they said he would say over and over again, this is beneath your dignity. You were created to house the fullness of God. You were created to carry God around in the world. This is so below your dignity. In the forests of Northern Europe and Asia lives a little animal called the ermine. The ermine is known, and I'm going to end here. The ermine is known for its snowy white fur. Snowy white. The ermine takes great pains in keeping its fur white and clean. We're told that in those parts of the country, when they hunt the ermine, they don't use regular traps. What they do is when the ermine goes out in the day to hunt and look for food, they find its dwelling place in the cleft of a rock or the hollow of an old tree, and they smear it with grime and dirt. And they put all kinds of grime and dirt inside and around the hole. Then they release the dogs to go after the ermine. The ermine will immediately run back to its home. But when it sees the filth and the dirt, it refuses to enter. And they kill the little ermine. What if we as Christians were like that? We had such a dislike for the filth and the dirt of the world. And remember, it taught us today that when you, by a decision of the will, decide to remove yourself from that, that it'll start a snowball effect and you'll want more and more of this side over here. When you give yourself to these things, it's like a snowball effect. You want more and more of it. It all starts with the will. And how do you get the strength to the will? By spending time with God. So it's all up to you. Spend time with God. Let him give you the strength to say no to the things that are impeding your growth in Christ. As you do that, he'll come and find you, he'll use you. It's a snowball thing. But it's all up to you. Why sit there till you die? Become holy by God's strength and power, and he'll use you. And then when you get to heaven, you have all the rewards. That's why the Bible says over and over, put all of your assurance on the end, man. Put all your assurance on the end. Keep looking at the end goal. This week, we're going to know a lot about our future. I was reading this week my devotions in Isaiah 6. King Uzziah had died. King Uzziah was one of the most popular kings that Judah ever had. King Uzziah was popular. He was very successful. The people loved him. For decades, it says in the Bible, as long as he sought the Lord gave him success. At the end of his life, he stopped serving the Lord. His son Jotham came to reign, and Jotham wasn't quite the man his dad was, and he let the kingdom slide backwards. Uzziah was punished for finally falling away from God and misleading the whole country, and he got leprosy. So he lived in a house quarantined, and he helped his son run the kingdom. When Uzziah died, the whole nation was distraught, going, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And then Isaiah saw God on the throne, a holy, the seraphim angel crowned, holy, 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 holy. And basically, what that text teaches us is this, that it doesn't matter who dies, who doesn't get elected, it doesn't matter anything, God's still on the throne. And Isaiah saw him. And God said, what do you need? I'm still here. I'm still running the show. So no matter what happens this week, the end result is God is still running the show. But we're going to pray like never before, before Tuesday. We're going to pray, pray, pray that God's will is done. Father God, thank you that I didn't preach quite as long. Lord, I pray today that something I said about holiness and courage will strike a nerve in us. It's time for Christians to stand up and be the real deal. So, Lord, I said many times before, my only job is to plant seeds and then let God make them grow, and I planted seeds. If you're watching on the internet, if you're here and you've never given your life to God, all you need to do, get alone sometimes today, right now, if you're watching the internet, slip into your bathroom, slip into the bedroom, and say, God, I want to serve you. Send the Holy Spirit and come and live in my body and give me the power I need, because today I'm making a decision. I'm going to start following the Word of God and God. I'm giving up the world. I'm turning my back on the world. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start studying the Bible. I'm going to start obeying by the power of God. I'm changing my directions today. Holy Spirit, come and live in me to help me do that. And once you do, you'll become a child of God. Love you. Be safe out there. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.